We do like to thank our brother, Mr. Baker, for those kind words of welcome. It is indeed a privilege to be here with you this morning, and it's good to renew fellowship with our brother. He reached higher heights than I did, but we look back to fond fellowship with him as we were in Bible college together. But it's good to be here to renew fellowship with the people here in South Grove in London. And we bring greetings from our own congregation in Keish. We said we were coming over, and they said to pass on their greetings to the work here. While there's quite a distance between, they're a world apart in many ways, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's good to renew fellowship one with the other. But just thinking that last hymn that we were singing together, I don't know whether you were thinking about the words as we were singing them. You ought to have been. There in the verse 4, we were saying, I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. We want to read a portion of Scripture this morning, and it takes us into the life of a man called Moses. And Moses is in that place. He's in that higher ground. He has been meeting with the God of heaven. We want to read some verses from the book of Exodus, the chapter 34. And we want to just read a few verses from towards the end of it, from the verse 29. Moses was at this time leading the children of Israel. He has gone up into the mountain, and there he's met with God. And as we read this passage, it gives us an interesting insight into the very appearance of this man of God. Exodus chapter 34, the verse 29, we read, it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of stone in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come nigh him. Moses called unto them, and Aaron, and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord hath spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. When Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. He came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. The children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Amen. And we know that God will bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's just bow together in prayer, please. Our loving eternal Father in heaven, we rejoice today in this opportunity to come and to meet with thee. We thank the Lord that the scripture tells us of that fellowshipping together with thy people. Lord, as we assemble here in thy house, it is our earnest desire and prayer that thou, the triune God of heaven, would come and meet with us here. Our Father, as we read this scripture, we read of Moses. We read of that blessed and sweet communion that he had with thee. Dear Father, it is our prayer today that for each individual that is found in this gathering, that they might come and meet with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That thou, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, would open hearts and minds and illuminate them to the truth of the gospel. Our Father, bless us together. We ask and pray for the help of thy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that thou would take these old stammering lips of clay, touch them, Lord, with that life called from off the altar, that we might be enabled to speak of thee, and above all things to uplift the name and the person of our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in an age and in a time when there's much to do with cosmetics, and people are always trying to get their skin and their complexion and their appearance looking that little bit better. But you know, as we read this portion of Scripture, we read of this man, Moses. There he has been up on the mountain with the God of heaven. In the verse 30 there that we read, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. This servant of God, this man Moses, he's been up on the mountain, he's been speaking with God. God has revealed to him the Ten Commandments. He has them penned on tablets of stone. God has been speaking to Moses. He's been giving him instructions for the children of Israel. He's been giving him instructions for the building of the tabernacle. And after that time, those 40 days up on the mountain with God, this man comes down and he's physically changed. As the people look on him, they see his face. And it's glowing, it's radiant, because he has been in the presence of God. Now, if you look at me today, my face is glowing a little bit. That's probably because I was out in the sun yesterday. And with your fair hair, you tend to go like a tomato. But Moses here was glowing with a different glow. They looked at his face. They saw a glory. They saw a beauty. They saw a brightness. It was evidence of the fact that he had been with God. And you know, for God's people, the Bible reminds us in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 6, that you and I are to be salt and light. The children sing that little hymn, that little chorus, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. And you know, as God's people, we're to be sunbeams. Just as Moses had that radiant face as he came down the mountain, so as God's people, you and I are to be radiant for the cause of Christ. As men and women meet you and I each day, they should notice something different about us. When this man came down the mountain, Aaron saw the difference. The people saw the difference. He's changed. And that's the way the Christian should be. When a man or woman gets saved by God's grace, the Bible tells us, they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. They're different. And as you and I meet with men and women day by day, we ought to be different. People should look at you and I and say, there's someone there, a Christian. That tells us about the disciples, that as the people looked on them, they took note that they had been with Jesus. And for a few moments this morning, and I know our time is marching on, I want to spend some moments with you. And we want to look at Moses' experience up on the mountain. And we want to notice this radiance that he had on his face. And we want to apply it to our own hearts. And ask the questions as we look at what Moses experienced. How can you and I be radiant Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we display the love and the grace and the mercy of God in our lives? The first thing I want you to notice as you look at this chapter is Moses was sitting in the mount with God. If you look back there at chapter 33, just go back a page or two. There in the verse 21, you'll see that God speaks to his servant. He says to Moses, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I will cover thee with my hand when I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You see, here's Moses, and God says to Moses, I want you to come up the mountain. Moses had made that request that he wanted to see a little of the glory of God. God brought him up the mountain. He said to Moses, there's a little place. There's a little cleft in the rock, and there, if you stay there, you'll see a little of the glory of God. And you see, friend, as you and I consider this thought, we cannot be radiant for the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot show forth the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily lives if we don't know him personally. If we have never had that experience of recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we've never had that experience where we're born again, where we recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of mankind, that he is the blessed Son of God who has come to die and to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I first need that personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. But here as we look at Moses, we see that we need to be those that spend time with the Lord. This man was called to go up the mountain. He was called to come aside. He was called to come alone. And there he was to meet with God. And you know, as men and women and boys and girls that are saved today, each one of us have to meet with God. Many today have this notion that, well, you're saved and God's somewhere in heaven. He's distant from you. We can really have no communication with him. That's not right. For the child of God, there ought to be daily communication. We've got the Bible. We ought to be reading the scripture, reading what God would say to us. We need to be praying to bring our needs and our petitions before God. Here as we look at Moses, he had that communion with God. That time when he went up the mountain, and there he met with the God of heaven, and there he communed with him. And you know, we see that example in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Mark chapter 6, in the verse 46, there we read of the Savior. It says, and when he had sent them away, that speaking of the disciples, he departed into a mountain to pray. So Christ met alone to pray. And if you're here this morning and you're saved by God's grace, you ought to be meeting with God. You ought to be fellowshipping with God. You ought to be coming apart. We think of Moses, and we've mentioned him in the verse 2 there of that chapter that we read together, that chapter 33. God said to Moses, present thyself. He was speaking to him as an individual. And while we meet together here collectively in church, as we meet together to worship God, we meet together to praise God and to pray, there needs to be that personal meeting with God. You and I, as men and women, as young people, there has to be that time in the day, whether it's morning, evening, preferably both, when you set aside a little time and you meet with God. And it takes effort. It's never easy. We read the scriptures and we read of Daniel. And the Bible tells us that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And if you read that passage, you'll realize that Daniel held high office in the land. Daniel was a leading politician in the land at that time. And yet in his busy schedule, he took time to meet with God. And you and I need to do that. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes things can be very busy, various commitments with work, with family, with leisure time. And in all of that, God's left out. But you know, if you desire to be a radiant Christian, then you need to take time with God. You need to set aside something else in the day. You need to make that time to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to take moments alone with Him. It's not just a matter of 1 or 2 minutes. You need to take time when you can come aside from everything else. You can read, you can pray, and be alone. Chapter 34, God said to Moses, He said, no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. God was saying to Moses, He was emphasizing, when you come to meet with me, you need to be alone. If you want to get a blessing when you meet with God, you need to be alone. You might need to turn off the mobile phone. You might need to shut down the emails for a wee while. You might need to close the door. You might need to shut off the television. But you need to get alone with God. Child of God, you will never grow, you will never progress if we don't have that time alone with our Heavenly Master. Savior says in Matthew 6, and the verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And that's the same thought. It's closing everything else out. Mother, in the home, there has to come that time, perhaps, when the children are all in their bed. That time when you can lift down the scriptures, you can open, you can read, you commune with God. We need to make an effort to do that. We need to make an effort to study the Word of God. And have that place that is without distractions. That place that is without disturbances. So we see that was the case in the life of Moses. Moses has went up the mountain. He's there alone. He's alone with Him and God. But he had a purpose. Moses didn't just, as it were, come and meet with God to talk about the events that were happening around him. There was a particular purpose in mind. And you and I, as we come to that quiet time, for that devotional time in the day, we have to ask the question, why? Why do you come to a time of reading and praying? Well, if you're praying, there are certain requests you have in mind. There are needs. We all have needs. Within the home, we all have needs within the neighborhood. There are needs within the church. When you come alone to pray, you're bringing the needs of your own heart. You're bringing the needs of your family, of your wider community, that souls might be saved. And perhaps there are things that are weighing on your mind. You have worries. You have anxieties. Things perhaps that, well, it's difficult to talk to others about. You can bring and talk to the Lord about it. Moses went up the mountain whenever he came to meet with God, and there was a purpose and a reason. There was a plan in this meeting with the God of heaven. He had 1.5 million people to lead. He had the nation of Israel to lead to the land of Canaan. How am I going to do it? I need strength. I need wisdom. I need help. I need understanding. Moses had many needs. Meeting with God is a time to bring before the needs of our heart. But it's not only that, it's a time to thank God. It's a time to praise God. It's a time to exalt His name for all that He's done for us. You look at that chapter 34 again. And you look at the verse 8. It says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth at worship. You see, this meeting with God, it was adoration. You and I, when we come apart to meet with God in our quiet time, it's not just a matter of laying down all of our needs. Sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we begin to pray, and, well, Lord, I need this, I need help with this, I need guidance and direction with that, and it's good to bring our needs before the Lord. But we need to remember to worship God. We need to remember to thank God. Moses here, as he comes before the God of heaven, he bows his head. He comes with reverence. He comes with respect into the presence of the Most High God. This is just not meeting with a friend. This is not just meeting with a neighbor. This is a meeting with the God of heaven. This is a special time. He comes as a subject of the King of Kings. Just as a subject comes in before royalty and they bow, he bows before the God of heaven. He comes as a child of God before the Father. He comes with those needs upon his heart. He comes and he accepts the wisdom of the God of heaven. He comes and as he bows his head, he says, Lord, I'm weak, I'm frail, I'm feeble, I need your hand, I need your help, I need your touch upon me. And so as he comes, he worships the God of heaven. That word there that's used, worship, it means to depress, it means to bow down, to pay homage. And as he comes before the God of heaven, he recognizes to whom it is he comes. It is the triune God, Jehovah, the I Am that I Am, the eternal God of glory. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, here as he comes before God, he recognizes him for who he is. We sang our opening hymn this morning, it was great as thy faithfulness. But you know, as God's people, as men and women today, we have to be mindful that everything we have comes from God. We live in an age where everybody says, I need this and I want that. And they forget that everything comes from God. Our life, our homes, our family, our breath, the food that we set on the table, all of these things are evidence of God's blessing. Moses, as he comes before God, he comes in worship. He comes in adoration. But you know, as he comes before God, it is a time of conversation. You look at that verse 1 again of chapter 34. And there at the end of it, we read, God is speaking. And he says, I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first table which thou breakest. And there we see that God is speaking unto Moses. The very first verse says, and the Lord said unto Moses. So God is speaking to Moses. This time together, God is speaking to him. But if you look down at verse 9, we read that Moses is speaking. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go amongst us. You see, it was a two-way opportunity. God spoke first. The King of Kings, Jehovah, spoke to Moses. And he said, Moses, I have something to give you. I have the tablets of stone to present to you. I have instructions to give you. I have directions to give to you. And Moses, as we find him here on the mountain, he's first of all listening to God. You and I, as we come alone, we need to listen to God. You see, it's very well to read the scriptures and to read the portions that are there, but we need to apply them to our hearts. We need to listen to what God has said in his word, and we need to put it into action. Someone has once made the comment that we have two ears, that we ought to be listening twice as hard as we're speaking. God has given us ears that we might listen to his word, but we ought to practice it. You see, it's no good listening and doing nothing. Maybe you're a mother in the home, maybe you're a father in the home, and you say to the son or the daughter, I want you to do something. And they say, yes, daddy, yes, mommy. And 5 minutes later you come in and, well, the room's still the way it was before. The chores haven't been done. They've listened, but they haven't done anything. But you know, as Christians, we can be like that. We can read those passages of Scripture, and God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible tells us to live a holy life. The Bible tells us to be obedient to God, to tell others of the message of the gospel. We can read it, we can understand it in our mind, but do we practice it? Do we do it in our daily lives? Is there that desire in our heart to be holy, to abstain from all appearance of evil, to live a life separated unto God? Is there that desire to tell others of Christ? There needs to be that listening. There needs to be that obedience. Here as Moses is up on the mount, there is that listening to the word of God. But yet we read that Moses speaks, God listens to his servant. Isn't that a lovely thought? That the God of heaven was listening to this man, Moses. For you and I as Christians today, as we come to the place of prayer, is it not amazing that the God that created the heavens and the earth, that he desires to hear the needs of your heart? That he desires to hear and loves to hear his people pray? He's interested in you. We live in an age today where many say, nobody likes me. I'm unloved. I'm uncared for. And yet we have a God in heaven that loves men and women. A God that has a desire to know what is happening in your life and mine. A God that has an interest in our eternal soul. A God so interested in our eternal soul that his son died on the cross of Calvary that you might be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. He gave his life on the cross of Calvary that men and women such as you and I might be saved. The Bible tells us he came not to save the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And friend, in this meeting this morning, I want to ask you that question. Have you ever repented of your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ? He's interested in you. He loves you. He desires that men and women would be saved. It's not God's prayer that any would, or desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And for those that are saved, God has an interest in our lives. The things that concern us, the things that worry us, the things that make us anxious. And here as Moses speaks to the God of heaven, we see first of all he comes with those words of confession. Verse 9, and he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go amongst us. Moses, as he comes before God, he's coming with confession. For he says, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sins, and take us for thine inheritance. And you and I, as we come before the God of heaven, as we come in prayer, there has to be that confession. Yes, we have to come with adoration. We come with worship to the God of glory. But we need to come and confess our sins. Come and admit that we're feeble, that we're weak, that we falter, that we need the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sin in our lives can become a barrier. Become a barrier to living for the Lord. It can become a barrier to the fact that we want to be radiant Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to confess sin. Over in 1 John 1 in the verse 1, or the chapter 1 in the verse 7, we read those words that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we come and commune with God, there needs to be that confession before God. But we see also of Moses, this period on the mountain, he spent 40 days with the God of glory. It was a prolonged meeting. It wasn't just 5 minutes in the week at some time. This was a daily basis. There is an example for you and I that there needs to be a daily communion with God. Just as the same within the home, within the marriage, between the husband and wife, there needs to be that daily communion. So it is with the God of glory. That sweet fellowship, day by day. E.M. Bounds, he wrote a book on prayer, and he was renowned for being a man of prayer. This granddaughter, she made this comment regarding him. She said, as a little girl, she remembered hearing her grandfather lifting up both his voice and heart to God in prayer, each and every morning. She said it was his custom and habit to rise at 4 o'clock in the morning and to go to his prayer room, and that he was always there for at least 4 hours talking to God in prayer. Now, I'm not saying you need to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray, but you need to set aside a time. Take time alone with the Lord. Make it a daily habit. Make it a daily practice that you commune with your Savior and the God of heaven. But we notice something else about Moses here on the mount. Not only was he sitting at the feet of God, but he was studying at the lips of God. While he was here, we read in the verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. You see, here as Moses meets with God, he learns something about God. The reading of the scriptures is not just simply a reading to understand the stories or the accounts that are given to us, but we learn more about God. As Moses was up on that mountain and God began to speak, there was that divine revelation that was given to this man. He learnt more about the nature of the God in whom he trusted. Those verses that we mentioned. He proclaimed the name of the Lord, the God of heaven, that one whom verse 6 reminds us is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And you know, that's what we learn in the Scripture. As you read the Bible, you read of the different characters, you read of the nation of Israel, do you not see the long-suffering of God? Israel were a people that turned away from God time and time again, and yet God was merciful to them. He forgave them when they repented. He pardoned their sin. He was long-suffering. He was gracious to them. And my, as we read the Scriptures, we find that it reveals to us from Genesis right through to Revelation more and more of the nature of the God in whom we trust. Here is this man met with God. He saw more of the blessed God of heaven. He saw the glory of God. Those verses that we mentioned a moment ago. When Moses said, "Show me thy glory," and God set him on the rock, and there he got a glimpse of the glory of God. You see, that's what it is to be alone with God. Coming alone in private time and devotional time, it ought not just to be a habit that we do and say, "Well, I need to pray, I read my Bible." It ought to be a time that we desire to be at. A time that we look forward to. That I want to know more about my God. I want to know more about my Savior. I want to know more about the Lord will have me to do. You know, we're over with a group of young people and we thank them for taking part in the service this morning and for the singing. But you know, in the life of a young person, there's only a time when they meet a girl or a boy and they want to know a little bit more about them. And they're always on the phone. They're always talking. They're always communing. They want to know as much as possible. And you know, for you and I as Christians, that should be the same with God. We want to know as much about our God. We want to know as much about our Savior as possible. And we ought to spend time in His Word, seeking in His Word, that we might know more of His glory and more of His wonder and more of His blessing in our hearts and lives. What we see in the life of Moses, what we see in Moses' face, that radiance, that beauty that was there, was an expression of the glory of God. As Moses came down from the mountain, the people looked and they said, "There's God's servant. There's God's man. There is that man that has spent time alone with the God of heaven." Is that not what we all desire today? The only way we'll get it is by doing as Moses did. Taking time alone, communing with our God, confessing our sin, getting those sins removed, and being alone with our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sweet to be in God's presence. There's a little hymn that says, "Sweet are the moments of blessing that we spend in the presence of God." As we look at this man, he came down with a glowing face, evidence that he'd been with the Lord. And so much so that he had to put that veil over his face. People couldn't bear to look on. They could see in his appearance that he'd been with the God of heaven. Friend, that ought to be your prayer and desire here. It ought to be the desire of every believer. That we might be those that are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we live in wicked days. We live in hard days. They're hard financially. They're hard many ways. But we need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bring glory to His honor and to His name. We need to live a life that is well pleasing unto Him. And you know, as you and I spend more and more time with our Lord, then we become more like Him. I'm sure if you have children, you've looked at them and you see them in the home and they'll pick up the habits of the parents. Whether they're good or bad, they'll pick them up. And you know, as you and I spend time with the Lord, we pick up the things of God. We become more like our Savior. We become more like our Master. We think of those words and we've mentioned them. Acts 4 and the verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Friends, that's our desire this morning, that men might know we have been with Christ, that we might be those living witnesses, that we might be those ambassadors for our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come here this week to do outreach in the area, it's our desire and prayer that God would use each of us to the extension of His kingdom. But you know, the most important thing of all is that each one know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. If you're here in this meeting this morning, maybe you go to church, maybe you're familiar with the Bible, you're familiar with the account of the Gospel, you need to be saved. That's the most important thing you can do. The greatest need of your heart is to confess your sin, to turn from it, to repent from it, and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And that's our prayer today, that each one would come and know Christ as Savior, and that we as God's people, that we might be those men and women, boys and girls and young people, that are radiant and glowing for the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust the Lord will bless these words to your heart today.